Welcome to another episode of Solana Moms Building Community Podcast. Today we're honored to welcome Chief Master Sergeant John Evoli to the Solana Moms Building Community Podcast. With a distinguished 30-year career in the United States Air Force as the Commander-in-Chief Master Sergeant of the 60th Air Mobility Wing at the Travis Air Force Base, John has firsthand experience of the military journey. Following his retirement, he served as the Veterans Liaison for Congressman John Garmendy, advocating for veterans' rights and benefits. Currently, as the Military Affairs Officer at Travis Credit Union, John leads outreach efforts across a 12-county region, ensuring that financial education and wellness resources reach military members, veterans, and their families. His unwavering commitment to service continues to make a profound impact on our community. Join us as we dive into John's inspiring journey, his dedication to supporting military families, and his insights on building a stronger, more connected community. I would like to welcome my co-host, as usual, Patty Phillips.
Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning. We had a morning, huh? You want to tell them?
It's been an interesting morning. So John, we were meeting John at Travis
Our special guest here is John. And go ahead for the rest.
And John and Miriam had talked, and John said, you need your real ID to get on base.
Yes, said, he mentioned at least five times while I was on the phone with him, he said, please make sure you and your guest will bring your real ID. And of course, in my head, I know what a real ID is, and I said, I got it. And when I was in the car with Patty, I said, look, I got my ID, and I'm acting all cool, like I'm going to this.
And she's like, do you have your ID? And I said, I always have my ID with me. But she didn't say real ID, so I didn't know. And
I thought that was real ID. I travel with it.
So we get there, and the lady behind the counter says, so you have... federal limits apply.
Yeah, federal limits apply.
Yeah, and California. That moment my brain is like, what does that mean?
So on your driver's license, your California driver's license, on the top right corner, if you don't have a real ID, it says federal limits apply. Well, we were going on to a federal place, and since we didn't have an actual real ID, they wouldn't let us on. So here we are.
Yep, here we are. So if you're going to a federal place or a military base, please make sure you have real ID and don't think real ID is a driver's license. I learned. So now I have to go find my passport if next time I want to go take a tour with John and Patty. So there's our story, but now we're going to get back to topic and our guest.
It's a good thing we have John with us. John Evoli, welcome.
Thank you. It is so... I'm so excited to be with you ladies this morning. Okay.
I'm sorry for making you go in circles, but thank you for being so kind and so patient with it. I was telling Patty when we're driving behind you, I was like, do you think he wants to kill me? He said, no. She said, he's very chill. I was like, oh, okay, good.
No worries. It was, and like I shared earlier, the root of every issue you'll ever experience in your life with someone or whatever, it's a breakdown in communication. So
I fully agree. But it was me. I'm okay with taking the fault, and this was my fault.
But it's so funny because I kept saying real ID.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned a couple of times.
And Miriam's yes, John, I have a ID. Why do you keep saying that to me?
I actually, yesterday he said while I was driving, and then he said again, and my head is like, I know what a real ID is. No, I don't know what a real ID is. Mm.
So for those of you who haven't heard, pretty soon your regular driver's license is not going to cut it anymore. No. So you got to get that DMV.
Yes, like you and John told me, you can go to DMV and get your real ID. And I think what John was saying and Patty was saying, it's also so important with whether it's a meeting, your husband, your kids, to ask the question. If I had only asked what a real ID is, then all of this would have been solved. I think in my brain, I thought I was smart. I know it. But there's always room to learn.
I should have known something was up when you kept saying, yes, John. Why? I was like, I know. Anyhow, okay.
So here we are.
Let's talk.
John, can you share a bit about your military background, about yourself, and what led you to serve in the Air Force for 30 years?
Oh, my goodness. That could be the whole episode today. But let me be succinct about it.
Just a shortcut.
My father was in the U.S. Navy. My dad was Filipino. Joined the U.S. Navy back during World War II to get his citizenship in the U.S. Navy. Mm-hmm. Served over 20 years. He retired from the U.S. Navy. So I always kind of, in my head, saw that the military was a good way of life. Mm-hmm. It provided for him and his family. And so I always saw that as a good way of life. As I graduated high school, I was about to go to Old Dominion University in Norfolk, Virginia for civil engineering. And one of my best friends signed up for the Air Force. And he said, yeah, John, I just signed up at the buddy system. And, you know, I got a guaranteed job. And I went back and it was like, what? It's like, oh, I can get a guaranteed job in civil engineering in the Air Force. So, and they'll give me some money for college and I can get my degree. And I went home and asked my dad and he said, absolutely. Love it. Love considering, you know, going into the military. And I love that you're thinking about the Air Force. And so that led to me joining the Air Force to do 4 years and get some money for college. Mm-hmm. But I fell in love with it. And love is a relationship word, right? So I absolutely fell in love with the camaraderie, the service to our country. And I was very blessed to have some amazing supervisors, bosses throughout the time I was in. And it just kind of, I did very well. I was very blessed. I was given a lot of opportunities to excel and succeed and get promoted. And it all turned into 30 years of being very, very, very blessed.
Yeah, 3 years is a lot, and you're still involved.
I am.
I find it very amazing that you have been through this journey, and now you're retired. However, you're bringing the resources to the people that are starting it, because many of them start young as yourself.
Yes.
And they have families, some of them. I know a couple of people, they do. And they don't know what resources are out there for military families, and that makes their life hard. And now that you are a military affairs officer at Travis Credit Union, you're bringing all this good stuff.
Miriam, I am one of those people that, and you hear that phrase, you know, find something you love to do, get paid to do it, and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
That is me.
Oh.
I did my time in the Air Force, and after I retired, I did a little bit of time. I was actually Congressman Garamendi's district director for about almost five years.
Yeah, I read that. And I actually Googled your pictures. You were right there. Yeah, there are so many pictures of you on Google.
Stop. Right.
He's popular, Patty.
Yeah,
we got to get his signature.
Whatever. So I did some time with a congressman. 2018, the gentleman that was in my position here at Travis Credit Union was retiring and leaving the credit union. And some of the leadership from the credit union called me up one day and they said, hey, Chief, what do you think about being our military affairs guy or base liaison? And I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, let me, you know, it's like when you go to the car dealership and you're trying to, you know, suppress your excitement for this new thing. I was like,
yes,
you're calling me about my dream job. You're going to, you know, hire me to go continue to take care of airmen and their families out of the base. And then you're going to allow me to focus on teaching them how to be smarter with their money so that they don't make the mistakes that a lot of us did as young military members. I'm going to pause because I have so much to say about that. And I'll be super transparent, just real quick up front. I love my mom and dad. They're both in heaven now, right? But unfortunately, me as a young airman in the Air Force, they didn't really teach me about good money management. So when I first joined the Air Force, I didn't know what a credit score was, a credit report, interest rate. I didn't really know how to live out off of a budget or to make it a budget and to live within my means and so forth and so on. So, you know, I think we have found, especially now that I'm with the credit union and I focus on it so much and we see studies and reports of how many young individuals just are not set up for success as young adults to manage their money. Mm-hmm. So that led me to be very passionate about being able to give this back to the military members out of Travis Air Force Base and help them be smart with their money. So
yeah, that's amazing advice, because a lot of us, even whether military or not, we have. When I went to college, I maxed out a couple of credit cards.
Right.
And then it's calling mommy, daddy, our older brother.
I was like, why is that a bad thing?
Yes.
I can apply for another credit card and get another $2,000.
Yes. Well, you don't understand the concept of credit. You don't understand. You get excited. Like you said, when you get a credit card, you're like, wow, I'm an adult.
Yeah.
Now we know it with our kids, we educate them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that you are doing, making informed the military families that, you know, this is the route to take.
So in your role as military affairs officer or at Travis, mm-hmm. What are some of the key financial challenges that service members, veterans, and their families face? Which is kind of what we were talking about.
It is. So, I mean, and there's a whole spectrum, right? Because if you're a young, single military person just joining the military out of high school, your military paycheck is probably your first significant paycheck.
Yeah, right.
Right? So,
right. 18 years old.
Right. So that was me just joining right out of high school and getting this big amount of money and not really understanding that, oh, I need to not just
spend it,
buy a big beautiful car, you know. And that's what a lot of young folks do. They'll go out there, and we actually even teach car buying 101 and what not to do as a young military member, because I have a horror story from myself buying my first car down in, I was stationed at Moody Air Force Base, and I went over to, you know, Jacksonville, Florida, and bought my first car. And I did exactly what you're not supposed to do, because that very kind salesperson said, oh, you're in the military. Oh, we have a lot of Navy here, but not many Air Force. So what are you looking for? And I'm like, I tell him and the color and the options. And he says, well, what are you looking at paying a month? And I had done my homework. So I knew what my budget was. I knew what I could spend and how much I could afford to pay a month.
Shoot, you were steps ahead.
Yeah.
But break. The second I said how much I could afford to pay a month, he was like, oh, okay. I don't know if we can get to that number, but we're going to do as best we can because we love the military. Mm. I drove home that day with a 1985 new Honda Accord, the color, the options, everything, for the monthly payment, slightly under what I had asked for, but not once did I ask about the interest rate or how many years I was going to be paying on that loan, what the term of the loan was. I didn't ask. I paid a lot of money at a very high interest rate. I didn't ask what the total price of the car was. So I'm going to tell you something. That happens to military members every day. But I digress. Challenges for military members. The young military member that's coming in that's not ever had to deal with making a budget or living off a budget. The more seasoned individual that maybe once every 4 to 6 years, they're moving from one base to another base to another base. And the financial, what we call unique transitions in life that tend to create financial instability for military members. That what we call permanent change of station, PCS moves, where just one day I'm stationed in Virginia and then I get orders that, hey, John, you and your family are going to Travis, California. And I'm like, oh, okay, great.
Like in 2 weeks?
Right. Well, no. Hopefully they're giving you more time than that, okay. But sometimes not. But that upheaval in your life to move from one location to another location where you have to sell a home or, you know, maybe your mortgage in, you name the other part of the country, is much lower than when you come to California and you have this huge shock of how much it costs. So, and we have bases all over the place. So we have people that coming into California from Arkansas, very low cost of living. You know, your home is $160,000 there. Here it's $600,000, $700,000. That's a big deal. And imagine this. There, plenty of childcare. There, your spouse is working. Well, when you get to California, now your spouse can't work because whatever she was doing or he was doing in that other state, you have to get recertified or credentialed in the state of California to work here. It's a big problem for military members. So there goes that amount of money. And then childcare availability, how much that is. There's so many financial things that people deal with. I guess the regular person doesn't even think that, you know, oh, yeah, there's the military base over there, and there's people assigned there, and there's families that live in the community, and they just have no idea that, you know, whether it's military spouse employment, childcare, availability of affordable housing, all that stuff is like, so again, like when I'm in Virginia and I get those orders to California, I don't really upfront know all that stuff, but guess what?
You learn it.
You do, and sometimes the hard way. Absolutely.
And what financial planning strategies do you use at Travis Credit Union to help relocation families?
Well,
do you give them a survey? What do you give them?
Actually, it's so neat. Part of Travis Credit Union's what we call DNA is why the credit union industry is people helping people. Mm-hmm. So if you don't know, Travis Credit Union was born on Travis Air Force Base in 1951. So we've been really embedded with the military community. I want to say probably sometime in the 90s or so, we had a gentleman that was here, recently passed away, retired Chief Master Sergeant Andy Anderson. He was a big proponent of financial wellness, financial education, helping. So part of us being on Travis, we connect with an organization out on the base called the Military and Family Readiness Center. Military and Family Readiness Center, MFRNC, or MFRC. They basically have a group of people that are focused on what we call personal financial readiness of military members. And I'm going to get a little deep here and a little bit nerdy. Back while I was still in active duty, and still till this day, they have something that they used to call comprehensive airman fitness. And it had four pillars of comprehensive airman fitness. Now, this program was about resiliency, but it was about military readiness. So if an airman was strong in these four pillars, it was physical, social, mental, and spiritual pillars of their life, they could remain more resilient and ready to do the job when called upon to do so. Physical, social, spiritual, mental. My thing was, hey guys, why don't we have financial fitness?
Add it too.
Yeah. Why don't we talk? Because, so when you think about the wellness areas of your life, money, we have found study after study, has been at the top of people's stress levels.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
Right? Making no ends meet, but yes. Nobody's ever given you the tools. So at Travis, we focus on budgeting, saving, spending, and borrowing or credit as the four core pillars of financial wellness. We have resources available. We have a brand new program out in 2025 under Knowledge is Power, but we have an Enrich program. So that's giving anybody free access. You don't even have to be a Travis Credit Union member to access the wellness pillars, plan, save, spend, borrow. And under plan, you're talking about basic budgeting, understanding your paycheck, understanding, you know, that, hey, you don't get that whole gross pay. So you have things that come out.
Guess what?
And then through saving strategies, not only saving for like emergency savings, but saving for good stuff too, saving for the unexpected. And then when we get into spending, understanding your money personality, how you personally feel about money. Are you a saver, or are you you pick up the check for everybody when you go out? Are you a gift giver? That's going to be a problematic to your budget if you like to express love through giving gifts.
Oh, that was all me, all three things that you said. So I guess I'm...
Right. And then when it comes to borrowing, you know, understanding how credit works, talking about credit debt, credit card debt, how to use it wisely, to build up a good credit score, improve your credit score, or if you've gotten into trouble, how to get out of credit debt, so forth and so on. A lot of the core stuff, and I would tell you, it's so funny. Like, I know we've talked about the program that we have for the youth in the schools called Generation Wealth. One of my colleagues is the leader of that. His program really mirrors what we do for the young adults and adult financial wellness, but it does it in a way where it takes the high schoolers, you know, maybe there's a sweet spot in, you know, juniors or senior year. They're about to start their lives as young adults. Yeah. And it takes them, we teach them a little bit, but then they're actually able to apply what we've taught them in a practical scenario where they have to make all of their monthly expenses fit within a monthly budget. We give them a random, we give them a profession, a salary, they're married, they have kids, they have debt, they have a credit score, and they see how all this impacts their life of, can I buy a home? Well, your credit score is low, you can only rent. Or if you have a car, it's going to cost you this much more a month because your credit score is so low, you're going to get a high interest rate. So there's all types of things. And
I'm so excited. I'm going to volunteer on that day when they do it.
Oh, yeah. So and excited. When is that? So for the listeners, if they want to attend, or is it?
We have adult volunteers. You can come to our website and figure out how to volunteer for one of our Generation Wealth programs. The ones that we do in the schools, we don't really have like outside just, you know, general volunteer, but the ones that we do that are open to the community, I believe it's Saturday.
April 26th.
Yeah, April 26th is when our Next Generation Wealth is, and it's going to be right here at our headquarters in Vacaville at Travis Credit Union at our community room. So.
Okay, we'll try to come cover it.
So how does the military pay structure and benefits impact financial decision-making for active duty members?
Okay, so it's a good question, because I want to say that there used to be an adage, and I'm not gonna, I don't want to sugarcoat this or anything, but military members that are smart with their money
do well.
They're fine, right? Back in the day, I want to say back a little while back, we always say, well, you're serving your country, you're never going to be rich serving your country, right? Yeah. And I know that you have some other questions in there about the blended retirement system, which is basically the retirement program they have now for young military members. Mm-hmm. It's basically the military member's version of a 401k.
Okay.
Where put in a little portion of their money, and then the Department of Defense, and for us, the Department of the Air Force, matches that up to 5%. Okay. And those accounts for young military members, they start now automatically when they're in basic training.
Oh.
So imagine this 18 to 20 year old individual is starting their IRA when they're in eight, you're right? And they're having money go into it automatically.
Compound interest, right? Starting at age 18.
Hey, you brought up the magic words. And so when I go teach like on base and I show people, hey, this is your blended retirement system. It's called the Thrift Savings Plan that they deposit their money into. Mm-hmm. And I pull up their calculator to show them, hey, this is the potential opportunity, young 18 to 20 year old, that what this turns into when you're 59 and a half, yeah. 60 years old.
Yeah, and like it's like $1 million.
It
they're
is.
Putting in $50 a month or whatever.
So
it's amazing.
So that's a great opportunity for me. My program that I started out at the base. So all the military members in the Air Force are called airmen.
Yes.
Airmen, right? Gender not specific. They're just airmen, right? Male and female, they're airmen. My program out at the base is called The Million Airmen, helping all of the Travis Air Force Base airmen on their way towards becoming million airmen.
Love
wow.
it.
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
So it's everything from, you know, building wealth and smart investing, the blended retirement system, how to maximize, you know, your income or your retirement benefit with the blended retirement system and thrift savings plan. And I talked about this a little bit. Coming to Travis Air Force Base is a sticker shock when you come here for the cost of living from a different part of the country, right? You tend to be at the high end of that. There is some goodness that happens for the men and women that are assigned to Travis because there is something, I want to say it's like a cost of living allowance adjustment because like, so for their housing, they get a housing allowance that's more here than it is in Arkansas,
yeah.
if that
makes sense.
Yes, because it's based on the living situation, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, you know, regularly there's studies that come out to say, oh, hey, the average cost of a rental or whatever is this here. So, I mean, they get that. There's some goodness to, you know, financially, the military has seen fit to go, hey, the people that we're assigning to, you know, Northern Virginia or this high cost of living area in California or wherever, we're going to give them a little more to live there.
Yeah.
So it's doesn't always cover it. And if you make bad decisions, it's certainly not going to cover it. But if you understand your limitations, if you work smart, like a couple of airmen, they get a place together and they share the expenses. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's smart if you're single, right?
Absolutely yeah. It is.
Can you talk about the importance of budgeting and saving, especially for those in service who may not always have financial security post-retirement, which you kind of did just now?
Yeah, so post-retirement for me and versions of what I call being a veteran, right?
Okay.
Because, you know, being a military veteran doesn't mean that you did 20 years and you have a retirement annuity or you have a military retirement. You could be a veteran that you did your 4 years.
4 years.
You did your 4 years in the service honorably, then you got out and you did whatever. Now, that's what happens, what comes into play there is the VA,
mm-hmm.
right? So many good opportunities. And like when I was with the congressman, I worked really close with the VA.
Oh.
And the portion of the VA that does benefits, VBA, is a Veteran Benefit Administration. So just to understand that the military members have access to a lot of really great benefits, the VA home loan,
right?
No down payments. When we're talking about continuing college education, there's a post 9/11 GI Bill, which pays for a certain amount of college at a certain amount of period of semester colleges that they can, you know, get a degree. And while they're going to college, they get paid a housing allowance.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's
nice.
So when people transition out, whether you did 20 or 24 years or 4 years, you have this really great, I'll say, safe landing support from the VA. And a lot of that's about money too, because another big part of stress for a military member is when you separate. And whether you did 4 years or 24 years, especially if you did 24 years, now you and your family are very accustomed to this amount of money that you make from the military. And then all of a sudden, in like not just military, but you're going to end this career, you lose this job, now what am I going to do? And for a lot of military members, they struggle. High levels of stress when they separate, when they retire, because, wow, how am I going to translate this military job that I had into a civilian community or civilian job, you know, but honestly, it's so funny because now that I've been out, I've been retired for over 10 years. I really sit down with some guys that are coming up and guys and gals that are coming up on retirement to say, hey, listen.
Start thinking about it.
You are incredibly valuable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your skills and training, yeah. Your leadership, all the things that you've done to execute huge projects, you know, whether it's HR, you've been drug-free, you've been this. You are so valuable to the outside, you know, civilian workforce.
Yet. Help them with, like, developing a resume.
And so going back to the Military and Family Readiness Center, they do that with all military members. There's a congressionally mandated transition assistance program that all military members have to go through a bare minimum of what we call a transition assistance program, TAP program, to move off of the to separate before they separate. And whether they did 4 years or 24 years so that the separating military member knows all of the benefits that are, you know, they have access to.
That's great, because most of the time I have friends that their spouses were in military or in military.
Yes.
You hear when they're transitioning from coming there and leaving, that's where they struggle
as
their mental health, because they're coming to totally a different, world.
Absolutely. And I will say, and I'll just share with you, many of us veterans are kind of proud, a little bit too proud sometimes, to either ask for or receive a benefit that we've earned. And so I learned a while back, you know, again, going back to when I was with the congressman, because I worked with veterans to help get their disability claims, you know, resolved or issued or whatever. But then there was so many other veterans, a lot of senior veterans, that are like, oh no, I never applied for disability, I never did this, no, I'm fine, I'm doing well money-wise, I don't need that money, whatever. It's something that military members earned. You know, it's not like a handout. It's like, no, you served your country. You have earned this VA benefit. So
I'm glad you brought that up. They have earned this.
They have earned
this. Yes,
yeah,
and
by
ask
serving
for
our
it.
Country.
Yes.
Right. So, and going back to veteran financial wellness, we've really learned and we've seen this, that now if I'm married, guess what? If I don't take the right steps to inform my spouse, when I pass away, all those benefits stop. So now what's your spouse supposed to do?
Yeah.
There's so many things that, hey, wait a minute, while you're still alive, while you're still ready to, you know, so there's things that you can do as a military member to ensure that if you happen to pass away, some of your care and benefits continue on with your surviving spouse. And we have many veterans that, unfortunately, because you would have a widow come in and say, hey, you know, my husband passed away. What am I supposed to do now? And it's like, oh, okay, we can't do much at that point, because now
he didn't set it up.
They didn't set it up together.
So your recommendation is to have open communication with your spouse and get all those.
Communication.
Yes.
Oh. There's that word again.
Yeah.
Real ID.
Back to a real. Oh, I'm never going to.
Okay. You're going to show me that. Right?
I'm not going to see you two anymore. What are some key resources and programs that Travis Credit Union offers to help military families achieve financial stability? You have mentioned all of them. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, my main thing is almost everything we have, financial wellness resources. It's not necessarily specific to the military, but it's for anybody. And so if you were to go to our website at traviscu.org, you'd be able to pull up the financial wellness drop-down menu. And from there, there's all types of new resources available. Every once in a while, we'll have webinars. Like last night, I did a estate planning webinar. Our Travis Financial Services group did do estate planning. So we'll host a webinar, and then we'll have that available as a recording that people can come back and click on and watch. I do that with the military. In April, we have Military Saves Month. It's a traditional month where we focus on America Saves. It's a financial literacy month for nationally, financial literacy month.
Oh.
America Saves, as well as Military Saves, is where I focus on. So we will be doing four webinars, one a week in April, talking about different saving strategies. And I kind of mentioned that start with a plan, and then save for the unexpected, save by paying down debt, and then save for retirement. And they're just little like half-hour webinars that we do, and you don't have to be a member. You just click on them, register for them. And
speaking of members,
yes,
I moved to Vacaville in 85, and we were in the big banks or whatever. And then I heard about Travis Credit Union.
Yes.
And I wanted to go join, and I couldn't because I wasn't military.
Back
and
in
there
the
was
80s.
Something else in the 80s.
Yes.
When they opened it up
yes.
to the general public, we joined right away. And
oh.
I've been so happy as a member of Travis Credit Union.
Thank you, Patty.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, she was telling me that it's for all. I thought it was just for military.
We have an issue with that some people still don't realize that we... So in the late 90s, we switched our federal charter. We used to be Travis Federal Credit Union.
Yeah, that's right.
So we, to help better serve, because we are so embedded in the community here, we switched to a state charter. So we dropped the federal, and now we're Travis Credit Union, becoming a state chartered credit union. Our field of membership is open to anyone that lives, works, worships, plays, goes to school in our service region. And we serve almost all of Northern California, but we have like 12 county service region in Northern California. Mm-hmm. We're sitting at around 260,000 members.
Wow.
We're a little over $5 billion in assets. So for me, it's amazing that this little thing that started on Travis Air Force Base to serve the men and women out of the base, you know, back in 51, is where we are today. And I'm super proud to be a part of this institution.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. From what I hear, Patty, and now talking to you, how much it brings to the community, the positive impact, I think who wouldn't want to support that?
Well, we hope, you know, our reputation, we've been here a while, right? And while I don't necessarily directly focus on products and services, certainly we're a financial institution, and we would hope that somebody with a financial need would come to us and consider what we do. Credit unions are not for profit. So all of what we do comes back to this community in ways that we do a Generation Wealth program or I'm out of the base supporting a recognition program or an awards program or you know, something to help, you know, generate morale out of the base. They're having some thing and they say, hey, Travis, is there a way that you guys can help support us? And we do. Every 2 years, a big air show.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's
amazing. I didn't know that. We need to attend that.
Awesome.
Oh, was it this year?
Yeah. April 2026 is the next air show.
I'll put that in my calendar. I'll be for sure coming.
But I have to just sing the praises of Travis Credit Union. We bought a car, and we wanted to pay cash for the car. So you have to order the money ahead of time.
Right.
So I did. I went in to pick up the money, and the teller was helping me, and she brought over the general director or whatever, manager of this particular branch. And he says, is anyone pressuring you to get this cash? Are they threatening you?
Oh, yes, fraud prevention and elder abuse of financial elder abuse.
Yeah, and, you know, I have gray hair, so I look elderly.
You look great.
So he made a big deal about, I want to make sure that you are safe.
Yes.
Wow.
So I really
that is so personal.
That. Yeah.
You don't get that nowadays.
Well, I don't know. I haven't
been. Well, I don't get it on my bank, but I'm not going to name it.
Well, there's that's a big deal. That's part of our training, you know, and anybody comes in to do a certain type of transaction that's a little bit out of the norm, you know, and the folks out of our branch, at our branches, it's so funny because, like, I get to go out to the base quite a bit. And the ladies and the folks that work the teller lines, they know everybody so well. And they're like, oh, hey, you know,
how's
hey,
your
Patty.
Son?
Yeah, right. They know each other so well. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of a family business.
Yeah.
You know, it's a financial, pretty big financial institution, but there's such a nice connectivity of, gosh, I remember when I first came to the credit union, there was something about we're more than a transaction. Treating people more than a transaction. So in our mission statement, you know, developing lifelong relationships with people to help them achieve their financial goals, it was a relationship-driven thing. And I'm a relationship
yes,
guy.
You are,
yes.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Yes, definitely we know that.
And John is also the president of our Rotary Club right now.
And that's how I met him. And then he was, again, he said relationship guy. He was so kind and he was... you know, when you meet some people, at least in my experience, you know that you want to work with them and you know they're bringing positive in the way they carry themselves. And the way John was there and made me feel welcome, it was like, okay, I want him to be a guest
Okay, I'm blushing. I know.
It's very cute.
We're getting back to our questions. I know you went over these, but I want to make sure our listeners that are in military and non-military, if their families are, that they have the correct information and they're informed. VA home loans can be great benefit for veterans. Can you explain how they work and how military families can take advantage of them?
Well, I don't know if I give you all the details on how they work. Just suffice it to say that a VA home loan, the loan gets guaranteed by the VA. So unlike a bank or a financial institution, there's some assurances that the finances are going to be covered by the VA. And they also do away with the down payment. There's no down payment required. There's that VA benefit. My son's a young captain in the Air Force. He ended up going through Travis Credit Union and getting a VA home loan out for his home that they purchased out in Kansas. In Wichita, Kansas. I know, right? There's a VA home loan just is a thing that helps military members secure a loan for a home that they may not otherwise get based on their credit and what financial institutions see for that young individual, you know, in their credit history. Is that person a risk or not? Now, I will say it's very interesting to me because a military member, right, when it comes to financial risk, when it comes to loans or whatever, I mean, this young individual has raised their hand to serve their country for the next 4 to 6 years. They have a stable job. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the normal 18 to 20-year-old walking in off the street just asking for a loan. Yeah. This is a person that's really coming with a lot of assurances that their finances are secure, so forth and so on. But anyhow, the VA, going back to the VA home loan, I mean, it's just one of those amazing benefits that allows people, young military members, to secure a loan, as well as even, you know, veterans afterwards. You know, when they separate from the military, sometimes a lot of those military members while they served, you know, for 20 plus years, they never planted roots anywhere. They never bought a home while they were in. But now, as they separate, now it's time for them to buy their home wherever they want to be. So, you know, it's, again, just one of those benefits that financially helps people get settled down.
And then what advice do you have, like, before someone, like your son, what advice did you give him before he was trying to buy his first home?
Okay. Woof. And again, universal, not just for the military. Anybody that I would tell that is planning on buying a home, that is one of your two big major purchases, usually a car and a home, right? So planning well in advance to get your credit score as high as possible. Your credit score as high as possible, and you do that by paying down your debt. Your debt to income ratio, you get that as low as possible. You get your credit score as high as possible by, you know, and that might be a plan where you eliminate all of your, you know, unnecessary debt over the course of, you know, and I'll say, hey, we're planning on buying a home in 5 years. Okay, in 5 years, we're going to get rid of all of our debt. We're going to do whatever to get our credit score as high as possible, and then we're buying it. If it's shorter than that, no problem. You can work towards it in 2 years or 1 year. You know, next year you want to buy a home or whatever it is. And again, you know, now the flexibility of having your credit score high, right, and then watching interest rates, and you get comfortable with, okay, the interest rates have dropped to X. It's time to buy. You're on the market now. And now you get to, I would say, almost shop your credit score around. Like if you go to a financial institution and you've worked on your credit score to get it in the 800, I'll say 800 to 850, it's really high. At that point, you go to a financial institution and saying, hey, I'm looking at doing this, getting a home loan. This is what we're looking at doing. And they give you an interest rate and it's not as low as you think it should be.
Yeah.
Go to another financial institution and say, hey, they were wanting to give me this. Can you guys beat this? So shopping your interest, you've worked on your credit score, shopping around for the best interest rate, that's super important. But again, like for a military member that's going to buy a home, I in my head, we have this strategy that if you're near a military installation and you're looking at starting to do some buying homes and then keeping that home and renting them out, so there's like this little thing where you say, okay, find a nicely appointed home, maybe not your dream home, near the base. If you can get the mortgage within your housing allowance for that location, so you know anybody that comes here after you now can rent that home out within their housing allowance. That person doesn't want to buy a home, they want to rent a home. So you buy that home, you live there while you're stationed at, say, Travis. You stay there for 4 years. Now you PCS, permanent change of station, to another location. You keep that home.
Passive income.
Now you have a renter come in there, use their housing allowance to pay off your mortgage. And you just keep doing that over the 20 years. And there's this whole spreadsheet that shows that if you do that from place to place to place, you have like five homes, three of them were paid off. You've received a lot of money from the government to pay off your personal property. And it's neat ways to think about, as a young military member, how you can really take advantage, and that's probably not the right word, but wisely use your income.
Yes.
To really help build wealth as a young military member.
Yes. It's fascinating to do it that way, that you set a couple of homes and you're still doing your job. I find it fascinating.
And once that home is paid off, now that military member that lives there, that's 100% passive income, like you said, Patty.
That's great. I always wanted to do something like that. And anyway.
I know. Right. Hindsight, right? Well, if I only knew then what I know now.
Well, but we couldn't afford it. You know, right. That's what was so hard. So.
It's also, we didn't have the resources like this.
Yeah. No.
At least I didn't. Yeah.
We didn't have John.
Yeah.
So we talked a little bit about BRS, the Blended Retirement System. Explain it a little bit, how it works and why it's important to plan.
Okay, so let me juxtapose the old military retirement system, which was basically that if you did 20 years in the military, at that point you were eligible for what I'll call a military annuity, but it's what we call military retirement. At 20 years, you get out and then you get a certain percentage of your retirement base pay.
Yes.
And that would be, so back when I was in active duty, the retirement system was that if you do 20 years, when you get out, you'll get 50% of your base pay.
Base pay at the current.
Yeah, current base pay. But then it keeps, there's, cost of living increase and so forth.
2%
but something. Yeah, exactly. But the base pay doesn't include your housing allowance or your other things that are in your pay.
Okay.
It's not the full amount that you would normally get. So 50% of about 70% of your pay or less. So anyhow, so that's what you got at 20 years. That was your military retirement, right? In my opinion, at around 2018, a little before that, the Department of Defense started to say, hey, we need to do better for our military members. Mm-hmm. So for the military members, because we noticed that not many military members were actually retiring with enough money, income, to live off of, right? At that 20-year point, 30-year point. But Patty, I don't want to sugarcoat this, but listen, if you came in when you were 18, you were retiring when you were 38.
Right. So it's not like you're retirement age yet.
No, you are not quote unquote retiring. You're starting your next career, right?
Yeah.
So, however, let's go back. In about 2018, they created the blended retirement system that became automatic, that in basic training, a young military member was going to have a thrift savings plan account open for them. That was an IRA. It was a 401k IRA for that young military member. And that was going to be theirs to take with them, whether they did 4 years or 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine, and we talk about this, and you already said compounding interest. We'll do the chart for the person that says, I'm not doing 20 years. I'm doing my 4 years. I'm getting out. Well, here's the deal. Look at this. You started this account when you were 18 years old. You contributed into your 5%. You got 5% matching, and you did that for the 4 years you served from 18 to 22. Now, you got out and never put another dime into that account. Let's see what that turns into when you're 59 and a half, 60 years old.
At 4% or something.
Much higher. Thrift Savings Plan, and I will give you the TSP.gov site. You can look up all the accounts on Thrift Savings Plan. There's five different pieces of that account, but they're all, it's basically mutual funds, that you'll go, that one of the four, and there's like a very conservative one, which is the G fund, and then there's other common stock ones, which is the SCNI funds, which is common stock, small, and then international. So there's a lot of options, but even if you don't want to do individual into one of those options, there's things called the L funds, the life cycle funds, where it has a combination of all those based on your risk and your age, how risky you want to be, but basically your age, that the closer you get to 60, 65 or whatever, the more conservative it gets with the investments.
It just sets it up that way.
It does. It automatically starts shifting from a younger, more aggressive growth fund all the way to a much more conservative fund when you're closer to now drawing money out of it. You want to protect that big bag of cash that you've built up. Anyhow, I could go, oh my gosh, I got so many.
We need another episode for this.
I'm sorry. But that that was set up because the government saw so many military members get out with nothing. Mm-hmm. Veterans serve their country for 4 years and get out and have no financial anything because they don't get a retirement. And even the retirees that did 20 plus years, it wasn't enough. So having that mandatory start back when they're in basic training was going to take care of a lot of military members for life. And most young people don't realize it. They don't go, okay, yeah, 5%, 5% matching, whatever. No, let me show you what that does. You know, and you can even put more than your 5% in there, you know, but you only get matched up to 5% is the highest you'll get matched. But, you know, and then showing that calculator.
It's huge. It's amazing. If you've never seen something like that, it blows your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the last question.
Oh.
Let's see. I want to pick one.
Here's the boss battle music.
Oh, yeah. And you guys, are you going to tell me about the real ID again?
No. Okay. We're going to let that go. Let it go.
Oh, thank you. Where can our listeners learn more about financial resources, workshops, or support programs for military families and veterans? You said it, but I want the last piece, if anything is left, so our military families and us could learn.
Absolutely. So I welcome anybody to send me an email.
You can let them know your email when they're listening.
Certainly. So J-E-V as in Victor, A-L-L-E at TravisCU.org. So that's Travis Credit Union, but TravisCU.org, O-R-G. And so that's my email, but I mean, coming to our Travis Credit Union homepage, you know, is www.traviscu.org. Peruse and look through our financial wellness tabs, all of our community events, all the things that we just do in the community that I am so super proud of and blessed to be a part of. But again, send me an email directly if you're looking for something very specific about, you know, financial education, financial wellness. I can certainly, we have free resources, pamphlets. We have access to what I call our new program, which is called Enrich, that focuses on all of those components of planning, saving, spending, and borrowing. Our big kickoff thing now is knowledge is power. And we really believe that, you know, giving the folks out there the knowledge to be smarter with their money. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful.
Wow, that was a good ending of this. Knowledge is power.
It is.
Yes.
There's so many things on your website. It's great. I have my checking account for it. And there's this little graph that shows where I have spent my money that month.
I love that you talk about that. And I can't wait for you guys to talk to Stuart about Generation Wealth.
Is that for free?
Yeah,
because I know Lucas and I have one, and then it's called Monarch, but we pay like something a month that it shows each place where our money goes where.
No, this is free.
Yeah, and again, I love Travis Credit Union, but you know most financial institutions have a version of that on their mobile platforms. Mm-hmm. But hey, Red Rover, come on up.
Seriously, over, you're getting us. Well, thank you so much for being here, John. Thank you for serving our country. I never got a chance to thank you for that. And thank you for Patty. And thank you for my mess up today.
No, you're so fine. I want to thank you too. When, you know, you guys, you talk about how serendipitous, how you know, meeting people of kind of like, you can tell they're just the right people to be around that are already focused and doing goodness out there. And that was always one of my things when I was in the military. I'd always say, be the goodness. Everything, every situation you're going to encounter, be a part of, it might not be what you want. So you be the source of making it right. You be the goodness in that situation.
See, this is why I joined our Rotary Club.
I love that, Miss Patty.
That whole club is just thinks like John does.
Yes.
Vacaville Sunrise Rotary.
Sunrise. Yes.
Tuesday morning. Tuesday mornings at 7:30 a.m. at Journey Coffee.
There you go. All right, listeners, thank you for listening. Till next time, take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.